You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine, back here with one of our last lessons from Transform Masters for 2017. This one makes for a good New Year's resolution for everyone, and while it's something you might not think of that often, think about building the most amazing business and then think about losing it to a cyber criminal, theft, fire, flood, or worse. It is a sobering thought. But you don't want all of your hard work to go to waste for something or someone that's outside of your control. This is the big reason we have insurance to cover us in the unlikely event that something does go wrong. Sharon Fox Slater from RentCover talks to our masters about all of the different types of insurances, from cybercrime, landlord insurance, professional indemnity, and business continuity, to make sure that what they are building now stays theirs. Here's Sharon.
Transform Masters 2017 is brought to you by Elite Agent with thanks to Property Tree, realestate.com.au and Real Plus.
Insurance. Wow, everybody thinks that that's a pretty boring topic, but I can actually assure you that it's not. People don't take the time to think about insurance that often. It's a bit of a grudge buy, but the world would not operate without insurance. So if you think about it, planes wouldn't fly in the sky, businesses wouldn't get started, hotels, theatres, anything. None of that would operate without having insurance, because if something goes wrong, for example, if an aeroplane falls out of the sky, it's pretty expensive to replace that or to fix it. So the same thing applies with real estate businesses. In order to ensure that you are adequately protected, you need to have done what's called a risk assessment. So a professional broker would come into the organisation and actually have a look at the business. Do you just do sales? Do you do sales and do you do property management? What sort of IT setup do you have? Do you have an internal person? Do you use an external consultant? How many people do you employ? Do you have contractors? What's the business turnover? What's the value of the rent roll? How many tenants do you have? All that is stuff that needs to be insured. And depending on the answers to those questions will determine exactly what sort of requirements the business has. Everybody seems to think that the only insurance that is really required is professional indemnity. That is obviously a very important piece of insurance, but it's not the only part. There are always new and developing things. And one of those that we're seeing a lot of at the moment, cyber. So companies are being hacked into and their data is being held to ransom, and people actually just can't operate when they don't have access to their data. So you can actually get insurance that will cover that for you. It will actually cover the ransom if a ransom needs to be paid, and they will actually do all of the negotiations for you. So effectively, when something goes wrong, you contact your broker or your insurer, and then they go through step by step with you every single thing that you need to get through what is obviously a very, very traumatic situation. Just going back to professional indemnity, the largest number of claims that we actually see under a professional indemnity policy is actually on the property management side of things. And that is where perhaps proper notes haven't been taken, where something has actually gone wrong. For example, a balcony has collapsed and somebody has broken their leg. Often an agency can be held liable because details regarding that particular accident haven't actually been as detailed as they need to be. It's not necessarily through poor practices, it's just poor record keeping. You know, there's just all sorts of things that can actually go wrong. One of the best things that you can do to ensure that all of the right protection is in place is to actually have an audit done. So when cybercrime first sort of raised its head, as an organisation, we didn't know really anything about it either. So what we did was that we put ourselves through a really extensive audit, obviously carried out by some external people, which actually identified exactly where all our exposures were, so that we then could put measures in place to make sure that we were as protected as we possibly could be. And then, of course, we took out a relevant cyber policy at the same time, because like you, we're responsible for all of our clients' data, and where we're obviously insuring, like landlord's insurance, we've got all the details of your rent rolls within our system. So you need to have the peace of mind that us, as a provider to your industry, is protecting your information as well. So when you think about it, you've got information all over the place with all sorts of people. So I would start by just asking the question, what do you actually have in place in terms of protecting our data? In terms of employees doing something like stealing your data, it's actually very hard to stop that. You know, we've even seen cases where employees have taken like photos on their phone of their computers to get that data. Absolutely nothing that you can do about that. Obviously, when you're employing people, you try and make sure that, you know, they're decent people that wouldn't do that. So you can't stop that part of it. But in terms of them doing anything that is illegal, you can get insurance to protect you against that. So for example, if they're actually stealing funds, which is sort of quite common, you can actually get cover for that as part of your professional indemnity insurance. And obviously, if you know that they've taken the actual data and are using it, you can obviously take action against them for that, but you can also get insurance policies to protect you because they're criminal activities. And that actually isn't cyber insurance, that actually is like criminal. So it's a different type of cover. So it does get quite complicated when you think, oh, it's cyber because it's data. It's not necessarily, it could just be deemed theft. The other really commonly overlooked types of insurance is what's called business interruption. And what that is if something happens to your business and you can't operate, I'll use a really simple example, like a fire. So your physical premises have burnt down, everything is gone, and you still need to operate your business. The business interruption will actually pay the running costs. It will pay for you to go to an alternative location, get yourself set up, and start working. So it basically gives you that cash flow. And a lot of businesses, especially small businesses, don't look at insuring that sort of thing. And yet that is potentially what could really put you out of business completely if you've just completely lost the cash flow. We saw a lot of that with the Brisbane floods back in 2011, where a lot of actual real estate agencies were flooded, but all of their stock was destroyed as well. So they couldn't continue to operate. And a lot of them didn't have that business interruption cover. And so they just lost their businesses. They lost everything. Yet having a simple policy in place could have completely changed that. One of the biggest mistakes that you can make is that people buy cheap insurance policies because they're cheap. It's more important to actually understand what it is that you're covering. I mean, obviously, price is a component of that, but once you understand what it is that your policy has in it or policies have in them, then you can actually do a proper comparison around price. So the first thing that I would do, so if you've got a renewal coming up, is actually get an insurance broker to have a look at that for you. An insurance broker is an independent person who acts on behalf of the client or the business owner. They don't act on behalf of any insurance companies at all. And so their job is to actually be a partner to you and explain exactly where all of your risks are and what you should and shouldn't cover. Sometimes you even find that they'll look at an existing policy and say, you've got a whole lot of stuff in here that you don't even need as a startup business. There's a lot of discussion at the moment in the marketplace about pets being allowed in properties. And obviously they're talking about actually in Victoria bringing in some legislation so that you can't say no to a tenant who wants to bring a pet in. Again, you're finding now obviously a lot of the landlord policies will actually cover you for pets in properties, but you've got to be really careful. Some of them are actually stipulating that the pet has to be named on the lease, which is fine if you actually know that there's going to be a pet in the property. But more often than not, you don't know that there's going to be a pet in the property. So you actually want to have insurance to cover you for the things that you don't know about. To make sure that you are protected, make sure that you've got some decent pet cover as part of the landlord policies. We're seeing a variety of different covers out there, and some of them aren't as good as they look on paper. But from our experiences, we have never seen as many claims from animals as we actually have from people. We generally find that most damaged properties are bad tenants as opposed to bad pets. So if you're in a situation where you have got pets in the property, at least if you've got cover, then that will put the owner's mind at ease. And a good policy will cover you even for smells that have been left behind by the pet. You know, sometimes you can't quite get the carpet clean enough to remove the odour. So a good policy would actually cover you right through to replacing that carpet if it needed to be. On that note, it's really important when you make an insurance claim for anything, be as clear as you possibly can about what happened, because the person handling your claim is sitting behind a desk, never seen the property, and literally only has your words to go by. So it's really important that you put in as much information as you possibly can, take photos if you could take photos, and even call and have a conversation with the person handling the claim if it's a bit too complicated to put it all in writing. So having obviously really good systems and procedures, documenting your processes and really clear note-taking or recording of conversations. I think people underestimate how helpful note-taking can be, but the way I think about it is that if any situation ended up in a court of law, they want evidence to support your case, and the easiest way to do that is obviously to record everything that you're doing, you know, recording, noting conversations, and, you know, make sure that when you've got staff coming on board that you're training them, that you have a documented training plan and that they know how to do their job and that your processes are all documented. I know it all sounds pretty simple, but they're things that are often overlooked, and particularly the note taking is an area where businesses do fall down when they really sort of need to have that evidence. If an organisation can actually demonstrate that they have adequate training and that systems and procedures are actually documented and an employee just doesn't follow through, the employee can be held accountable rather than the company itself, because the company can actually demonstrate that we've done all of this, here's our training procedures, this is what we did, this is what we went through, it's all recorded sort of on file somewhere, and that it is consistent, that everybody coming on board receives exactly the same training, and also to have some checks and balances in place. So one of the things that we do for ourselves is that we actually do internal audits. So the manager of certain departments, you know, every quarter just does an audit to make sure, are my staff actually recording their telephone calls? Are they actually doing X, Y, and Z on an insurance claim, or the people calling in to our client services area? Are they actually, you know, ticking all the boxes of all the things that they're supposed to say? So then we actually have an internal document that supports that the staff are adhering to the policies and procedures that you have. You can also then obviously retrain if you need to. Having the internal checks is important. I think it's also really important if you're in a position to do so, is at least every few years have an external audit done. That will just pick up on anything that you might miss yourself. We view audits as a means to improve your business processes and pick up on anything that's not quite right, as opposed to finding fault. So I think if you view your audit as a tool to help your business, that could actually be really helpful. We saw a situation where a trust accountant actually changed some details in the system. They changed sort of the name and bank account details for a supplier, and the principal didn't realise that this had happened. Money was being stolen and siphoned off to a company that this particular person owned. And because there weren't sort of regular checks done, it didn't get picked up until after the person had left and quite a lot of money had gone. So obviously audits help with all of that sort of thing as well. It's also worth, when you've got sort of like key people in your organisation, people that are sort of crucial to the running of your business, you should consider whether or not you actually need what is called key man insurance. So that actually covers you, as in the business, if something happens to that person. So, you know, if they have a serious accident or become really ill or can't work for a period of time, the company is then paid funds to protect them for the loss of that person. People have got a view that insurance is there to actually help the business, as opposed to being someone's just trying to sell me an insurance policy. That's helpful. But as I said, using a broker is a really, really good way to go, because they're impartial. They're there for you, not just to sell off a particular insurance product. you know, a good broker will make sure that it's cost effective for you, that your real areas of risk are protected, and as I said, can also highlight where you may not need insurance or where maybe you can carry some of that risk yourself. So you don't always have to insure everything. Obviously, if you speak to someone that is an expert, that will help.
Okay, so that's it for this week. Catch you again soon for some more insights from our Transform Master Series. To listen in to upcoming videos and podcasts, visit eliteagent.com.au/transform. I'm Samantha McLean. See you soon.
Transform Masters 2017 is brought to you by Elite Agent, with thanks to Property Tree, realestate.com.au and Real Plus. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.